Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily, a special Monday show because, of course, it was a pay-per-view week. We saw WrestleMania Backlash. A really, really good show, by the way. Sans zombies. We will get into everything that took place and we will detail everything that went down, our thoughts, our analysis. But, of course, as well, the heartbeat of the show is you guys, the viewer, the good eggs of Wrestling Daily. Remember, thumbs up, subscribe, all of that good jazz. But most of all, we would love your opinions tonight for WrestleMania Backlash. Let us know what you thought of the card, what you thought of the zombie lumberjack, what you thought of the incredible main event with Roman Reigns and Cesaro. There is a lot to get into indeed. And of course, I'm flanked by the perfect man, the wonder kid of WrestleTalk, Louis Dangle. How are you, man?
I'm good, mate. I'm really good. I had a great weekend. We went to the WWE thing on Friday, which was a lot of fun.
We did.
We had a nice little lunch date. Very nice.
That we did, yeah. It was weird for me. I had a lunch with like my two protégés. So Ollie Browning was there, who works for Give Me Sport. I gave him his job, and now he has what I used to do at Give Me Sport. So that's something. And now Louis's the next generation. There you go.
Exactly. It's like you're like the granddad.
And I am like the granddad. Already in my early 30s, I am like the seasoned veteran of British wrestling journalism.
You're like the granddad. Ollie's the son, and I'm like the grandson. It was like the three generations.
That stinks.
I had a good weekend. I just got back from my grandma's, which was quite nice.
That is nice.
Was able to hug my grandma for the first time since the beginning of the pandemic, which she loved. So, yeah, very good. And I haven't seen a zombie in a while. So,
yeah, my grandma was my favorite person in the world. So cherish it, Louis. Cherish it, my friend. What was I going to say here as well? Did your dad pay for lunch, Louis? I hope Mr. Ollie paid for the lunch.
I can neither confirm nor
keep
deny
that. Receipt, Louis. That's my advice to you. It was funny because we had, we were going to have a Nando's, but so today things lifted, right? Where you can sit down and eat in restaurants, but this was Friday and you still couldn't. So Louis went in there, still on his diet, and grabbed a chicken. His powers of resistance were really actually quite impressive. Whereas myself and Ollie, we went for Five Guys. Oh, it was so, so good. So good.
I'll tell you what. While you lot were just eating your burgers with your hands and your chips with your hands, and I was struggling with this wooden fork that broke about 10 seconds into me trying to eat the chicken, I was thinking, is the diet really worth it? Should I not have just had a burger just to make this easier? But anyway, I enjoyed, and I'm sure you did too. I know you've done some stuff. You've been to Abu Dhabi throughout all this, but it was nice to get out and actually work somewhere that isn't in my bedroom at home. Yeah. It was nice to work in person.
You say that it was your first thing ever, right?
It was, yeah. Because I kind of started I've been working at WrestleTalk for like two and a half years now, but I started doing the what I call transition from a news writer to more of a journalist, or trying to be anyway, calling myself a journalist, seeing if it sticks. And so this was my first opportunity to do that stuff, because I've been doing it for a year. I interviewed my first wrestler during the pandemic when stuff was so easy, and I kind of think everyone went virtual. So it was so easy to do. This was my first time doing something in person. It was really good. It was nice. I think people were shocked with how short I was to begin with. Someone was.
Who said that?
No one said it explicitly.
You felt it,
but
you paranoid little man.
I did. I felt it. But it was nice to meet, like, obviously meet you. Who I do. It was weird. After we met, I said nice to meet you, and it was like I've spoken to you pretty much every day for like nearly a year with this Wrestling Daily stuff. But no, it was nice to meet people it was nice to meet people like Skillet and Ollie as well, who I've like spoken to, but and Ash Rose, who's lovely. Like, nice to meet the people that you interact with like online in this weird space. So, I had a really good time. Hopefully will not be the last one of those sort of things that we end up doing.
I love it. It's my favorite thing, getting to like the media events and the, you know, all the people in the circuit. Like, you know, when we first walked into that room and everyone's like, hey, because you haven't seen them in so long. It's so nice to have seen so many friendly faces and people I admire. You know, Cultaholic was in the house. There was a lot of good guys there. That Skillet, I've said that I want him to come on my radio show. I met DJ Ace, who like is a part of the Radio 1 Extra team and all that stuff earlier in the week. So, man, it's cool. It's very cool to get out doing things again. Hopefully the Indian variant stays away and we get to do more of this.
Well, the vaccine looks like it works against the Indian variant. So
I just need the vaccine.
That's going to say you've got to be next. No,
and that's what keeps making me feel young, is that I'm not old enough yet to have had the vaccine.
You want to feel young. Once I get the vaccine, it'll probably be the one shot Johnson & Johnson. You're one and done by the time I get it.
I must be getting it. Like, no joke. I must be getting it fairly soon. 33. They were doing 40s like 2 weeks ago.
It's 35s, I think, now.
I'm not far off. There you go. No, I'll be safe soon. You know. So obviously that was very cool. That's what we've been up to. But we obviously want your thoughts on WrestleMania Backlash and all things wrestling, of course. That's what this show is all about. WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. The Mod Mother, the almighty Mod Mother, will give us the goods once you get it in. Whatever the donation, we appreciate you. And we will talk and discuss what you have to say. Callum Mann, my man Callum, in fact, has dropped the link there. Guys, if you want to get involved, please do so. I mean, we will get into the wider scale of WrestleMania Backlash. Louis, do we have some news to kick off first, the titular news? And I believe it's to do with WWE's scheduling.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people were expecting, all right, like after, see, it was supposed to be Money in the Bank. Reports suggested it was going to be Money in the Bank directly after WrestleMania. But at WrestleMania, they announced WrestleMania Backlash. Okay, cool. Everyone sort of assumed, all right, next one's going to be Money in the Bank. And obviously they announced it on the pay-per-view prior. So last night at WrestleMania Backlash, they announced Hell in a Cell for June, which is normally around October time, late September, early October, even November sometimes. So that was a bit weird, okay. But I'll get on to talking about that because I actually think I quite like it. Mm-hmm. But it does mean when's Money in the Bank. But we've got a couple of nice reports here. One is from Andrew Zarian, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Sorry if I butchered that. No, he's not a name that you might recognize, but any story he's broken recently has been 100% accurate. He did.
Who is this?
This is the guy that broke the story.
Say his name.
Andrew Zarian.
Oh, wow. No, I don't know. So I don't recognize it.
He's for the Matt Men Wrestling Podcast, who broke the story of NXT moving over to Tuesday nights. Like anything he's done, it's pretty accurate. So he is reporting that July 18th will be Money in the Bank with fans in attendance, which is obviously very interesting. We all thought SummerSlam. Speculation from me, maybe the AEW stuff moved it along a bit. I didn't think it would, but maybe this is sort of just a trial event before SummerSlam's like the first big, all right, we're on tour. But very exciting. I think putting Money in the Bank as the first like pay-per-view back is a great choice. Two fun ladder matches. You're guaranteed to have a hot crowd for that, where the sort of future direction of WWE is decided by the money, or should be at least, decided by Money in the Bank. I think it's a great choice to have that. Gets fans excited for it. Hell in a Cell is actually, if you've been, it's quite a visually hard show to watch as a fan in attendance.
Have you been?
I haven't been, but I've heard from people.
Right, okay.
Yeah. No, but you can imagine like trying to look through this cage when you're in the crowd. Like it is one where I'm thinking, that wouldn't be like a great first show back for fans, because it is quite hard to see. Well, you get do get some big matches and some big moments, but it's one that, like, you know what, if they're going to have that in front of the Thunderdome, when it might be a bit hard to see, and maybe you can do some cool spots with it being pre-taped, someone going off the top, and you can have like crash pads and stuff and make it less obvious. Maybe that was the thinking behind it. But yeah, I'm happy with this, or what it seems like anyway. Is the schedule. Money in the Bank should be a great show back, set us into SummerSlam. And I was thinking about this in terms of the Hell in a Cell stuff. I've seen some people like, oh, why are you doing this now? There's actually like several matches that could be in Hell in a Cell. In terms of like Roman and Cesaro, I'd see again in Hell in a Cell. Seth and Cesaro, I think based on that, it looks like that's the future direction. Go for that. Jay and Jimmy, that could be a great Hell in a Cell match, coming off sort of where Jimmy gave up for Jay in Hell in a Cell. You've got Roman Reigns and Jimmy. That could be really cool. Bianca and Bayley. Obviously, Bayley having a Hell in a Cell match last year with Sasha. That was great. Maybe the feud doesn't warrant it, but I think with 5 weeks, you could build that. You've also got Bobby and Drew as sort of that closer to the feud. Drew didn't get pinned last night. It was Braun, which kind of maybe gives away that Drew is like the next challenger again. But yeah, I think there are, for the first time in a long time, several viable options for Hell in a Cell. And that's quite nice. It doesn't feel like we're going to have to force feuds in. It kind of feels like, yeah, you know what? This feud does kind of warrant Hell in a Cell. Fair play. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And it should be a good next couple of weeks and months worth of WWE TV. So yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic, let's say.
I'd have to judge what they do on TV. I don't think there's any ready-made Hell in a Cell feuds, typically speaking, but they could do it. First of all, though, Forgotten Wonders, Ubex says, I'm finally getting an apartment. Woo! Congratulations, brother. Congrats on the new home. Yeah, for Hell in a Cell, man, like, I'm not mad at Helen, like, you know, Money in the Bank being later in the year is a good thing to me, putting it in front of fans and whatnot. I think that's cool. But with Hell in a Cell, I don't see any natural blood feud with Bobby Lashley putting in the cell. Like, you can put matches in the cell, that would be good. But what I'm saying is the cell is typically reserved or, you know, good for nasty feuds where it escalates to the point where it has to be settled in the cell. I don't think we got even one of those at the
moment.
I think
Bobby and I would disagree with that. I think Bobby
hasn't
Drew,
he hasn't. Bobby and Drew are nowhere. What's nasty about that feud?
It's been going on for a while.
That's seriously your argument?
That's all I got. No, but like, right. Okay.
Listen, you know exactly what I'm saying. A Hell in a Cell should be reserved for a feud that is really, really nasty, right?
I agree.
You can get there in 5 weeks, but I'm telling you right now, I think outside of... like Roman and Jimmy might be the easiest to get there.
Because of the history with Hell in a Cell and that family.
That has potential if they decide to go that way. And I have to assume that they will, because Seth Rollins and Cesaro seem like they're going to be paired off.
That could be Hell in a Cell.
I don't know. I mean, it could, but I don't know if
the fact they ended this pay-per-view with that angle. They didn't end it with Roman.
No, I get it. But you're looking at it as what WWE could do, and I'm looking at it what should be a Hell in a Cell.
Hang
right?
on. But if we're talking about what should be Hell in a Cell, there shouldn't be a pay-per-view called Hell in a Cell.
That's a whole other conversation. I don't think gimmick pay-per-views should be a thing, full stop.
Neither do I.
But Upton Irvindale just said it. Or I was literally just about to say it. Rhea and Charlotte is quite possibly the easiest to get to in the next 5 weeks. They've got a ton of history. Yeah. Charlotte has now amped it up where she's a more violent side of her character. That could get there. They could do it. They could do it. I hope they do, right? That's what I'm saying. I don't think right now, to me, that when they announced it, there wasn't like an obvious one where I was like, well, it has to happen. There's work that has to be done to get us to it, is what I'm saying. But still.
Yeah, I think given how great the story's been for Roman Reigns' feud, I'd be pretty surprised if him and Jimmy isn't in Hell in a Cell, given the history of Hell in a Cell matches.
Jimmy surely aligns with Roman, though, in the end.
Yeah.
Surely. Yeah, yeah.
But I reckon we're going to get a, like a, not a carbon copy of it, but very similar to the Jay Roman stuff, where like he has to like go through matches where it's like it's a feud that turns into an alliance, basically.
Pratic says, "Hey, Louis and Alex, in WWE, why are we not getting unique stage sets for every pay per view? Because they're in the Thunderdome." I would say
same with AEW. Same with like they're at Daily's place for the shows. There, you do get slight unique stuff with AEW, but nothing really.
Mm. NXT are probably the best at that. Switching.
Yeah, NXT are very good at that. In fairness, yeah, they do quite like the gimmick stuff. So yeah, and we got In Your House next, which should have a pretty fun.
Should be right. Let's kick off what we're thinking about the card. Now I'm going to read out Bo Hill and his Ultra Chat. I don't think he's sent in enough Ultra Chats recently, Lou, because I haven't been able to do that. But he says, been away for a while. Finally got a chance to sit down and watch last night. And what do I see? Zombies. For fuck's sake. I'm just reading out what he says. WWE has done some dumb shit. Dog food, etc. But having zombies as lumberjacks in a pay-per-view ranks there as one of the dumbest. Let's get into this, shall we? Miz and Damian Priest went at it in a lumberjack match. Now, last week, on TV, Damian Priest was seen going, have aliens, have zombies, I don't even care. Little did we know this was going to be leading us into a promotional vehicle for Dave Bautista's new film, Army of the Dead. Now, this is dropping on Netflix, I believe, on May 22nd. I believe the commentary team drummed that into my head last night. And that Army of the Dead were the sponsors of the show. Now, down the years, WWE have done things to promote other stuff inside their show. Typically, though, not on pay-per-view, admittedly. It's more on TV, week-to-week basis. This time, they had Johnny Drip Drip, who I'm mightily enjoying, go backstage, and he finds zombies. Actual zombies, one of which was Scotty Too Hotty, apparently. And then we get to the match. And the commentary team are selling that there are zombies at ringside. Miz and Priest look a bit shook by what's transpiring in front of them. They proceed to have a seven-minute match. Priest gets the win. And then after the match, the Miz is mauled. He is mauled by zombies. No blood, mind, but he's mauled nonetheless as Damian Priest fires an imaginary bow at the screen that brings up an Army of the Dead video. It was something. Louis, kick us off with your thoughts.
This was so bad that it wasn't bad, that it was bad. It was so bad that I didn't hate it. I was just shocked. But then I hated it. And it's just, it's all I can think about.
A lot of contradiction in your opening 30 seconds here.
But I'm so, because I was so confused watching this. I'm like, okay, right. At least Priest won. Cool.
Good. Yeah. Priest won. That's four wins over Miz now, I think he has, by the way.
It'll be five when they wrestle on Raw tonight. That hasn't been announced, by the way, but if it was, I wouldn't be surprised.
Did you see Miz's Instagram post today?
No.
He's a zombie.
He will, and you know what? It will be very funny when they come out as zombies on Raw. It will be quite funny. But let's just talk us through this. All right. The zombies were patiently waiting in their locker room.
They abided by the rules, by the way. They were very considerate they zombies.
Did you That's see true. Drew Gulak's tweet?
Yes. Yeah, zombies that abide by the rules. Go give it to him.
He was like, yeah, the zombies waited. They were impartial. They wanted their role was to ensure that everyone got in the ring. They
Very
were
objective.
The perfect lumberjacks. I thought, you know what? Fair play.
Best lumberjacks I can remember. Sure.
Me too. There was no... So they waited patiently in their locker room. They came out. Then what happened at the end of the segment? Did they just go back to their locker room? It was its own little funny bit in the show. Funny, crap, yeah, all of the above. It was awful, but I'm happy it was in this bit where shame for Damian Priest, but I didn't care about the feud anyway. It was what it was, but at least it was something different. Like I don't care about it, but I'm happy this wasn't in the Rhea and Asuka and Charlotte match. match or another match. Basically, looking down the card, if I had to put a crap stipulation, it would have been this one. Damian Priest doing the like archery bow gimmick and then shooting to Army of the Dead was the lamest thing I've ever seen.
Oh.
You sell out, Damian. You sell out. But yeah,
Damien.
No, obviously not Damien. Like, I felt bad for him, if anything. But yeah, this was what it was. It was in its own bubble. It wasn't offensive. It didn't ruin the show for me. It was just pretty pants. That's it. But it was in its own thing, and I think it's a testament to the rest of the pay per view that everyone's sitting there saying it was such a great show and not having this dampen it. So yeah, I'm happy with that.
I don't think I could have described it better than I did earlier, very succinctly. I didn't like it, but it didn't bother me, right? Like, it was just as it happened, I was just a bit like, it's WWE, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not how I like my wrestling. It's not as if I pine for zombies to be involved in it. And I love zombies for that matter, by the way. Anyone who doesn't realize, I'm a big, like, zombie gamer. That's like my favorite kinds of games. I like zombie games and Walking Dead. You know, once upon a time was great. Not so much now. But that doesn't mean I want to see a crossover of zombies in wrestling. It doesn't do anything for me. It's a bit too silly. This is the kind of thing that people who don't watch wrestling will see. And I'll come in the office and they'll go, you know, and I'm going, seriously, there were some great matches. There's some great athletes in WWE. You know, like, what you mean, the stuff with the zombies, yeah? It makes it hard, right? Makes it hard on us guys that defend wrestling all the time. Yeah.
If someone walked in while I was watching the show, how can you explain?
What can you say about that? What can you physically say? That was like the main thing where I was just a bit like, embarrassed a bit, I guess, because I did have people message me today like, what the hell was that?
Oh, no.
As if I'm meant to know. But at the same time, again, like, you know, in my mind, the world of WWE, you know, I'm not going to get too down a rabbit hole because there's lots of stuff that I've let fly or enjoyed down the years. You know, Bray Wyatt's character is a bit, you know, weirder than a zombie, really. He got burnt and came back to life.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different stuff you could say in WWE down the years that you've kind of gone, oh, that really, you know, Kane Undertaker, really, it's not as bad, it's different, but it straddles the same kind of supernatural line, right? So I don't think everyone, like, I saw some people being like, you know, Batista responding to someone saying that they felt insulted by it, or, you know, that it was terrible and stuff. I thought, you know, just give over, man. It's not that deep, is it? Come Listen, on.
It wasn't great, but it didn't ruin my
I didn't like it. I didn't like it, but the point, you know, I didn't sit there and I wasn't entertained or anything, but the point is I didn't find it, like, overtly offensive or anything. It didn't sour me on the show. It's just...
It is unfortunately the world we live in where people want to find those negatives and they will say that this ruined their enjoyment of the show. I don't know how this 20-minute thing could have ruined anyone's enjoyment of the show. It was a little bit, not very funny, not great, but it was its own isolated thing that didn't get involved with anything else.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You have to remember, right, in isolation, like everyone has their own idea of what wrestling is, right? I remember speaking to Pete Dunne after when they were, you know, we had an interview together, and I think it was after the cinematic matches. And he was like, nah, they're just not for me. It's cool. It's just what Pete Dunne likes, right? It's just his style of wrestling or what he prefers. Right. There'll be fans out there that want to watch Bloodsport because it's the closest thing perhaps to like an MMA-infused real style of wrestling. You know, or AEW again. I mean, it still had a Orange Mimosa match, right? Like, I mean, there are professional wrestling kind of isn't confined to one realm. You could do many things with it. We saw it push the boundaries many times last year. I just don't think it's something to get upset about. If it's not for you, cool. It's like scrolling through Twitter, right? You're going to see a bunch of tweets from people that you like. You like them. There's going to be some stuff that you're like, ah, that's not for me. But I instead of like, I wouldn't really comment and go, I don't like this. I just would scroll by. And that's really what I did on this show. I just scrolled by the zombies and pretend, you know, I was like, okay, well, that happened, but whatever. There is a lot of other great wrestling that did go down on this show. So I feel like we should do it justice and get into that now, Luigi. Agreed. Sheamus and Ricochet. I'm not going to spend too long on this, but I do think it was a lot better than it really should have been, right? Like 7 minutes on the pre-show. Good energy. Nice to see Ricochet back again. Sheamus can't have a bad match at this point. I would like to see more of Ricochet personally.
Yeah. I mean, when you say better than it should have been, like, I mean, these are two immensely talented workers.
By the position it was on the card, yes. I mean.
Yeah. Yes, agreed with that. I was expecting Humberto Carrillo to come out, to be honest, when I saw that it was an open challenge. So I'm glad it wasn't. I'm glad it was someone new. The post-match bothered me a little bit because it's like, what is this? Like, why did Ricochet want his hat and his coat? What did he gain from that? He lost fair and square. And then he just took his coat. Why? just what? It was a sweaty coat. Why would you want his sweaty coat? It was like, okay, we got a prop. We like a prop. Let's start the feud with the prop. I wouldn't have done that. But otherwise, yeah, in terms of in-ring action, great. Sheamus is just on this hot streak at the moment. We say it weekly, but that's because weekly Sheamus is going out there and having bangers. So hats off to him. Hats off to WWE for letting him do that. And if this leads him to a feud, great, because these are two immensely talented workers. I quite like Sheamus winning with the knee. It's something different. I don't like wrestlers just winning with one move. It's quite nice when, like Roman now, he's got the spear, he's got the guillotine. You can finish people off different ways. So I like Sheamus just hitting him with a knee. It's not too dissimilar from the bro kick. You can hit it out of nowhere, but it's a different way to finish a match. So I did quite enjoy that. I thought this match, for what it was, as you say, again, perfectly serviceable.
Can I just say, I feel like Pratik is shouting at us.
Yes, they are.
Look, yeah. Just screaming at us. Also, Gatecrasher, I see Alex, the chin beard is slowly coming back. It's actually not. It's just that I haven't shaved.
How often do we get like? How long does it take from like clean?
This to, is like if I clean shave for some obscure reason, this grows back the fastest. This area, and then I grow like the sideburns. They're like, it's just not connected. It doesn't grow as one is the problem. So you think I'm growing this. I am not. I need to have.
You're still about
again.
13. That's why.
It's precisely. I'd love to be about 13, brother. Mm. As would you. You look like you've had a hard life. That's your problem.
I have had a hard life. I can't lie. I've been through the wars in my time.
the wars. Let's get into the main show then. It was Rhea Ripley defeating Asuka. Asuka, I go out of my way to say that correctly now.
Beautiful.
And and Charlotte Flair, they went just over 15 minutes. Now, I personally like this match very much. And I like all the women involved. I have a problem with the finish. I'm going to get into.
What was the finish? Like, I know what the finish was.
Right.
But
listen, we had Asuka trying to attack Charlotte Flair on the apron. Charlotte meets her with the boot, which sends Asuka back to Rhea Ripley, hits the Riptide, 1, 2, 3. What is Charlotte Flair doing between hitting the boot on the apron? So she's clearly got her wits about her, clearly okay. What is she doing between that and what, like 15 seconds that transpire between setting up the finisher, getting the pin? How does she not break up the pin?
So what do you think happened?
That's what I'm asking. What happened?
So I think if you look, the camera didn't pan to her at all. There was no replay. Normally WWE would show a replay of something. I think it's Alexa Bliss or something, like Charlotte will see. She just wasn't able to get in the ring. Something was stopping her. Something was holding her back. Or maybe Lily will be like underneath the ring grabbing her foot, or Bliss underneath the ring grabbing her foot. I reckon we're going to see another angle on Raw, not like a fit, like another camera shot as to why Charlotte couldn't get in the ring. The camera was quite carefully shot that it didn't catch anything Charlotte was doing. So yeah, I do think it was that a case of that where
I
this
hope
will
there's
lead
an
off.
Explanation. Like, because if it there isn't, be. It's just a bit weird, right?
No, I'm pretty sure it will be. I'm pretty sure it's going to lead into a Bliss and Flair feud.
That seems to be the way. But then you'd think that, you know, Asuka being the one that was pinned, it's Flair Ripley. That's where we're heading. So,
oh no, we're heading to Ripley and Asuka again, surely. But no,
why?
Maybe
why?
I don't know. Maybe they'll do like a slow burn thing where it is Rhea and Charlotte, and like we don't get Bliss and Flair automatically, like continually in her matches.
Maybe they'll like connect the dots later. And exactly. It'll be like a series of things that Bliss did to Charlotte. Exactly. Like, remember this? You know, Usual Suspects-esque. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
And like there was a point during it where like Charlotte had a head like that while they were doing the ring introduction. I don't know if you noticed it. She was a bit like looking a bit like demonic, a bit weird. So maybe like we're going to see like the dots start coming together. I do think that's the end goal. And maybe, as you say, we'll either get it on Raw tonight, or it could be like a long thing where it culminates in the Rhea and Charlotte match. And that's where sort of the big turn comes, or the big sort of blow off to this. But I do think the reason Charlotte didn't get into the ring was Rhea Ripley. It was Alexa Bliss related shenanigans. Because otherwise it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
Otherwise, very good stuff. Like I said, it's probably the three top women on Raw. So what does Ripley do now? Presumably goes with one of them, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know how long till Becky Lynch is back. She looks in great shape from what I saw recently.
She had a baby. She had a baby 6 months ago. She looks incredible shape.
She does. I would still imagine Becky will be like a big thing for crowds. So not yet, but
Did you see the report that, I can't remember who it was, and I don't want to misquote them because it was a ridiculous report. They were like, WWE's planning matches for Ronda Rousey. I'm like, Ronda Rousey's pregnant. I don't think they are.
Who was it?
I think WrestlingNews.co, they were like, for WrestleMania 38. And I'm like, I mean, there's a chance. But I don't think WWE's going to plan matches for someone while they're giving birth.
I don't think Ronda Rousey's thinking about WWE at all right now.
Neither do I. She'll be back. She will be back.
Yes.
But not. It's not even in her near future vision at all.
Have you seen the Young Bucks latest bio?
Is it about
that's so good. We were the ones that told the truck to cut before SCU hugged. So good. So good.
It is good, but it's also not good.
Yeah. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio became the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the first ever father-son tag team to win tag gold in WWE. Again, very good match. The main narrative here was Dominic was attacked beforehand. Rey had to go it alone as the ultimate underdog that he is. And he did very well until his son would come down and help him later on the home stretch. Rey Mysterio obviously hits him with the 619. Of course he does. To Bobby Roode. And then Dominic gets a tag, homage to his real dad, Eddie Guerrero, from the top rope with a frog splash. Mysterio hits the sunset flip with the slide under the rope on Ziggler. Thanks for coming, new tag team champions. Very good stuff. Very happy. My heart sings for the prospect of babyface Mysterios versus heel Usos. I like that very much. The only small setback to me was that I just felt like it could have. Why not do it in Mania? That would have been a big moment, or even save their journey for later. You know, we're not that far off from fans. Save their journey for that and get a big crowd reaction there. Because I feel like that would have been a huge moment that would have drew a big reaction. I'm not like mad about it, right? Like, I still enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm just, you know, I think this Mysterio story is honestly one of the best that WWE have in their pocket, whether they know it or not. And where that leads us down the line, what they do as a team, or potentially it ends with Dominic turning on his dad, retiring his dad potentially. They've said they want to face each other at WrestleMania, make it stretch, all that good stuff. I just don't want them to blow through it. I've said this on the radio show earlier, which, by the way, my radio show is stacked tonight, but I'll tell you about that later. The WWE passed up the Cody Dustin match once before, right? The whole family. It was like they didn't believe that that was sentiment or grounds for a great match.
Overrated.
By you only, because you haven't got taste. But that match obviously went on to do great things with AEW. I think the boys proved their point that that match was a very good match. Now, don't pass it up again. The Mysterios is the best. Well, not the, I don't know, the best. It's one of the best organic storylines they've got in their pocket. There is so much they can do with it. Lou, what do you think about that and the title win?
The match was long, too long. Didn't like the story, to be honest, of like being taken. I felt like Ray came in, like Dom came in, got the hot tag, which lasted about 10 seconds, and then got beaten down for a bit. And then Ray came back in, got the hot tag, which lasted a few seconds. I felt like it was like 17 minutes. I felt like it could have had a bit of time shaved off it. But, and I mean, you've got daughter, so you all know this. Like, for Ray, that must just be the coolest feeling in the world. Just getting, like, you love your kids, you want the best for your kids, but doing that with your kid must just be the coolest for both, not just for Ray. The coolest feeling. Like, I love doing stuff with my dad, but if I got to win a title, a wrestling show, something that I've known as a kid, would be just tremendously cool. So I'm really happy for both. Just amazingly cool. I don't think they'll be long champions. I think that they will be decimated by the Usos relatively soon, which I'm quite looking forward to. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And in terms of the feud as a whole, in terms of Ray and Dom, I don't want a heel turn. I just want Ray's like, you know what, we're going to like put you through your paces. I want you to build you up to be WWE's next star. It doesn't have to be like a blood feud. It can just be like a father-son respect thing. And then at WrestleMania, Dom gets the win. I'd like that. I'd very much like to see that. You can even do that a few years down the line at LA when it's obviously like nearer Ray's like hometown.
Neck of the woods.
Obviously in the West Coast. Don't think it needs to be rushed, because I actually think WWE's done a pretty good job of like keeping Dom fresh, not keeping him overexposed, not making us see his limitations, which he will have because of how new he is to this. So there's no need to rush it. But yeah, I think because, like, unlike Cody and Dustin, WWE has seen something in Ray before. They do see him as like a...
Well, Ray's a bigger star, sure. Like, you know, so I understand.
I don't think they'll pass up. Like, this is the reason Ray returned to WWE, to get Dom's foot in the door.
Correct.
Well, if not the reason, one of the significant reasons. So yeah, I don't think WWE will pass up this opportunity like they did with Cody and Dustin. I just think they view Ray in a bigger light than they did Cody and Dustin. Well, so I don't think they'll
bonafide legend. Of course he is. I understand that. So I'm just saying, in terms of the sentiment is similar. I will say Scott Young backs you. He says, Louis, I back your opinion, not just you. Everything's subjective. I understand. I cannot understand where you're coming from, but that's because we feel differently about it. That's fine. I don't really understand this, Adam Pearson. If you need blood to get your match over, it's not a good match. That's a weird take. Are you saying... Hang on. I guess you're talking specifically about Cody and Dustin when you say that, but blood has enhanced a lot of matches down the years, for good or worse. I don't know if that's... I don't think you can make a sweeping statement like that, personally.
So I think we do need to start having a conversation about some point about how much people are bleeding on AEW Dynamite.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
I get it.
I agree. I don't want to see multiple matches a night, right? Everyone blading or whatever.
It devalues it. It massively devalues. Every Cody match doesn't have to have a blade job. I'm sorry, Cody. I know you want to be your dad, but it doesn't.
Oof.
I know you solved racism on Dynamite, but you don't have to blade every time you're in the ring.
Steady on.
Just chill out.
I think in the reference to the Cody Dustin match, I don't think it felt out of place.
But I didn't think it felt out of place. Don't get me wrong. There are parts of the match where I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I felt a bit like uncomfortable watching it because of just how violent it was. But it did enhance it. It turned it from like a 2-star match into a 3-star match. Yeah.
So bad. So bad. I'm not even going to entertain your bad thoughts. I mean, it would. Do you know what? It would have been, people would have gone, Cody and Dustin had a match. And like they didn't bleed with the homage to the American Dream, okay, and they didn't bleed.
Yes.
It would have worked both ways. It would have been very strange.
In a match with those two, you do need to bleed because it's like it's Dusty Rhodes' match. Dusty Rhodes' forehead before he passed didn't look like it did without a few blade jobs in his
time. It's a roadmap.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible. Anyway, moving along on the card, we've obviously already touched on the Zombie Fest. Next up was Bianca Belair and Bayley. Again, this is one of those where I think we could all telegraph that Bianca Belair was going to retain. But Bayley represented like a nice first foil for Belair because she is the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion. She did have the feud and indeed picked up a victory over Belair on the road to her facing Sasha Banks and winning the Royal Rumble. So it's very interesting. But Bayley has kind of been positioned as this first challenger. Belair would defeat her, Louis. But as Bayley liked to point out, Belair kind of cheated because she used her hair, although I don't think she got all of it, but she attempted to wrap her hair around her for the win. I thought that I said this on Twitter, that the hair riptide into the Bayley to belly was excellent. I thought there was some good stuff in this match, particularly the heel work of Bayley, like using her body between her and the referee to jab at Belair and try and get the upper hand. I thought it was decently done. It was a good match, right? Like a nice first one for Belair, but the way she won seems to think that it won't be done just yet.
No, we'll get this at Hell in a Cell, which is, you know what? There's not many other women on SmackDown that are worthy. Keeps Banks off TV while to keep her fresh. Yeah, I'm very much on board with this. Maybe even add Banks to the mix. Make it a three-way. That could be quite cool. But yeah, I think having Bayley as the first few was the right choice. She should be the gatekeeper. She's the longest reigning. She has a long history with Sasha Banks where they've traded wins. So she has like a legitimate, I guess, case to say, no, like you beat Sasha, but you can't beat me. Yeah, I would, as well documented, I've said, you've said, I would have liked to seen Bayley pick up more wins on the road to this, do something at WrestleMania, have a singles win over Peyton Royce while she was still there. Anyone, just give her a singles win if you know this is the direction. Have her be a legend or something. Bring Tori Wilson out of retirement for a night. They love doing that. She's at every Rumble. Or someone. You catch my drift.
What's your favourite Tori Wilson match?
The Royal Rumble.
Go on, carry on.
No, she was in it. It's a Tori Wilson match, to be honest. Probably was my favourite match that featured Tori Wilson. Probably a lot of people's favourite match that featured Tori Wilson.
The greatest feud known to man. Her and Dawn Marie in 2003.
Over a dad.
Golden age. Anyway.
Exciting stuff. Just, yeah, I would have liked to seen her with a bit of forward planning built up a little bit more on the road to this feud. But yeah, great stuff and excited for the next chapter.
Absolutely. There's a part of me that thinks Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks will be for SummerSlam. But also, could it be Triple Threat? in the cell. We talked about how it would have made sense for WrestleMania. Absolutely amazing that it didn't happen that way in the end, the way it all played out. But could it be the triple threat in the cell? Sorry, mate, am I keeping you up, or are you texting, or are you on the show?
No, I'm thinking.
I saw you texting. Your glasses gave it away.
I'm not texting.
You're just looking at your home screen.
It's a dog. You wouldn't look at that home screen. But it could be. But I don't want Banks and Belair to touch now. I think they should be separated for a while.
Yeah.
Have that be in front of fans. Because of how great it was in front of fans the first time, I'd have that be in front of fans the second time. I don't know about them touching right
now. I think maybe
you can even do the three-way at SummerSlam.
Yeah, you could. You definitely could. I think the three-way is right there because of all the interactions between all the women. What about Mia Yim? Where does she fit in here? Do you debut her right at the top? Because she's a great foil for Bianca Belair.
She'll be in catering until they need someone to do something. The debut constantly being pushed back. She was supposed to start a feud with Carmella, reportedly, per Sean Ross Sapp, which I guess isn't. Carmella's great. She improved a lot. Do I think that's a great indictment of where WWE wants you to be? Carmella is kind of like a mid-card to lower mid-card women's wrestler. Mia Yim, I think, listen, she could come out and be like, you know what, as Mia Yim, if we've been through a lot in NXT together, let's go. Let's do this. I'm not sure of their history in terms of matches. I'm sure they will have wrestled in NXT together. But yeah, I think that you could do that. Will they do that? No. But I do think Bayley should be the next feud. Money in the Bank, you don't have to have her wrestle in any way. Maybe you don't have to have Bianca Belair wrestle. So I'd go Bayley at Hell in a Cell, and then I do the three-way at SummerSlam.
Interesting. Moving along, let's touch on Bobby Lashley, Strowman, and McIntyre. Now, this was for the WWE title. Bobby Lashley going in as champion. He left as champion. And let me tell you something. This was fun as hell. They're for three big blokes. They proper laid it on the line. Braun Strowman's out here diving off aprons and stuff. It was a good time. The finish, you know, it's one of WWE's favorites in a triple threat. Someone hits the finisher, push you out of the way, I'm going to take the pin. Bobby Lashley, he's kind of been a dominant champion. I don't know if he needed to win like that, but it maybe suggests where we're heading next. Lou, what did you make of it?
I loved it. I thought this was Braun's best match since the SummerSlam 2017 four-way. I thought it was that good. The reason why these are good, they are fun spot fests where Braun Strowman's limitations are hidden, but his strengths are exemplified, where he comes up out of nowhere and just clobbers Bobby with the steps, where he does a cannonball, which was going to be a cross body, and he just sort of over-rotated and go, we're doing a cannonball now, so get ready.
It's happening.
Hats off to both Bobby and Drew for sort of protecting him there. The powerbomb spot through the barricade, through the announce table was great. Yeah, I thought this was great for all three involved. Big men, big spots, doing great stuff. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The finish does make me think it's going to be Drew and Bobby inside Hell in a Cell because of how sort of you had Bobby steal the win. Again, Drew hasn't hit the Claymore, which is a great story. I love that, how he still hasn't hit the Claymore on Bobby. Because it's like, if he does, that was a whole story of WrestleMania, and it still hasn't happened. And I think that is a very, very good story. I could see the title going back to Drew. I don't think it should. I don't think it should. But
listen, until you get Lashley-Lesnar, I don't want to hear nothing else. If Lesnar comes back, if they manage to go back to fans, he re-signs. You have to do Lashley-Lesnar. You have to. Like, it's honestly, like, I know people have been talking about it forever, right? People have been saying about probably one of the best matches left for Lesnar of someone that he hasn't touched is Bobby Lashley. This is the best Bobby Lashley there's ever been in terms of perception, at the very least, the way he's been projected by WWE. This has to be the time. If you're ever going to do it, Lashley says he's been asking for it for years. Like, legit, this is. Two MMA guys, like, decorated heavyweights. Yeah, Lashley had a good record before he kind of focused on WWE in Bellator and whatnot. I can't understand why you wouldn't do it. I really don't. And I think as Lashley as champion, that would kind of be the crescendo, right? That'd be like the top for him to get there, you know, get in there with Lesnar. Problem is, you probably then have to give the title to Lesnar. But, I mean, either way, I think you have to do Bobby Brock. You have to.
Speaking of three ways, I'd like
that. That'd be a good one.
You can have
also not long ago. Not long ago, you were saying it should be Jinder and Drew in the near future.
Whoa. Not for the title.
No, I didn't say that. That's what I'm saying. You're saying Drew's in the title picture. So do you branch Drew off to Jinder at what point?
The finish of last night made me change my mind. Not in terms of what I want to see, what I think we'll see. Because I thought it was going to be Drew
in
the pin.
Like, do you mean more like the timeline? It will get there eventually? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I think how I saw last night going was Drew getting the pin and you build off into Braun and Bobby as your singles and then Drew and Jinder. Or Drew just down the card, maybe Jinder later down the line. Last night's sort of fiasco made me think no, but if they're going to maybe keep giving Jinder some wins on TV and then you build up to that match, okay. Do I want to see it? Yes and no. I want to see it because Drew wants it. Jinder wants it. So they've clearly got some things planned. Because if you've been thinking about this feud for a year, you've clearly got some storyline in the world. Do I think it will be the best match on paper? No, not personally. But yeah, last night's booking did make me sort of change where I think the direction is, which is quite nice. It's nice to be surprised. But yeah, now considering it's Hell in a Cell, I could definitely see Bobby and Drew in Hell in a Cell. Like, 100%.
Yeah, I could see it. That leaves one match, Louis. And that, of course, is the main event where Roman Reigns retained against Cesaro. 27 minutes, 35 seconds they went, man. That's one of the greatest pay-per-view match Cesaro's ever had in terms of time and status and showcase. And man, did he show out. Man, did he turn up. Those two had electric chemistry. The pace, I mean, it doesn't feel like a 27-minute match to me, personally. Really enjoyed it. The finish, obviously the guillotine choke, puts Cesaro out, and then we get Seth Rollins turn up. And I will say this before I head over to Louis. Obviously, the attack on Cesaro tells us where that's going, but the stare down, the look between Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, that is real electricity. WWE don't have many of those where they can get two guys together and it's like, oh, there's not too many of those. When they were standing there looking at each other, you could feel it, like the star power, the history. It was all there. That is, you know, I would argue one of the best matches WWE have got in up their sleeve in the company, full-time stars, today.
That's your SummerSlam match, I think. That's your SummerSlam
Easy.
Main event. Your main event of the whole thing. Yeah, great. I loved how Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso didn't get involved in this match. Loved it. That's been a criticism I've seen of some people. Every match, Jey Uso gets involved. You know what? No, we're just going to let these two wrestle. And I was waiting for the Jey spot. Yes, I will beat Laurie for the championship.
He's saying, did you end up beating?
Oh, no. No, I didn't. I got screwed. I liked how it was like, you know, we're going to let these two wrestle because I was waiting for Jey to come out and he didn't. So I was surprised by the finish. I was caught off guard. I don't know what that voice break was.
but I didn't.
I liked it a lot. I liked the Cesaro Seth feud. You can continue that. Again, we've been speaking about three ways all along. You could do that. I wouldn't. I would wait until you first have Cesaro and What's his name? Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns.
What's his name? It's
a tribal chief. I had a brain fart. I couldn't think about it. I love him. I think he's... Did you see his post-match interview when he came to the back?
Yes.
I'm a young prospect booking. Was obvious he didn't need that win yet. Who? Me?
Last night.
Did you see what happened? Of course not, because you don't watch Wrestle storylines. Lucky for you. I predicted the perfect card.
Yeah,
I predicted everything right, but I was kicked out of the stream and I couldn't get back on, so I was counted out.
Oh, that stinks. There's something going on against Wrestling Daily.
There is.
SB3 SB3 is getting screwed by nipples. It's all going wrong.
Subscribe to see something change. Hopefully. Yeah. Quizzlemania War Games. If we get to 50.
If we finally do it, and then we absolutely screw
we're
it
close.
Up.
We're about 3.5K off, so we've done 1.5K, which is pretty good. 3.5K. Let's go.
Sure.
But yeah, very happy with that. I wouldn't have the three way because I would have you wait until Roman and Seth touch for the first time. But yeah, let's keep doing these little teases. We saw on SmackDown a few weeks ago. Let's continue with that. So yeah, very good stuff all round. And you now free up Roman to do the Jimmy and Jay story, which is quite nice.
Yeah, it's for me. I thought it was awesome for Cesaro, and he wasn't like he didn't belong, right? Like he looked like he thoroughly deserved to be there, put on an amazing match. I still want to see him get to the mountaintop at some point. It's just, man, it's hard. It's like in AEW at the moment, what do you do to break Omega? Like he's on such a story and a rise. Like, you know, you can't sacrifice that. Same as Reigns. I don't want to see anyone beat Reigns just yet. I don't think there's anything more important than what Roman Reigns is doing for WWE right now. He's their biggest star on the biggest tear of his career. It's like a career defining run. Let me say this. Roman Reigns on pay-per-view does not miss.
Sorry.
I'll say it Roman one more Reigns time. Roman Reigns on pay-per-view does not miss. Ever since he came back at SummerSlam, that man has been knocking out the park. Any match he's had, any match since he's come
Roman
back,
Reigns
knocked out the
has
park.
Not had a bad segment since he came back.
The guy is flying. The guy is finally the star WWE always wanted him to be. I always loved Roman, but this version of Roman, goddamn, like the guy has got it. This is the marquee star WWE needs to build around. Man, I'm very interested to see what he's like in front of proper crowds, because I just can't imagine anyone booing this man right now. He's just doing such amazing work. But
they did it,
I guess we'll see. That's what I'm saying. I was like, wow, okay, but who knows. I will say, I think obviously the Jimmy Uso story, getting into that, I'm very excited to see how that plays down. The story, the narratives behind everything Roman Reigns does has been so strong since he turned into the tribal chief. I'm so excited to see what he can do with those guys and how that play out. I just want us to get back to heel Usos, man. Like them in 2016, one of my favorite character evolutions ever, certainly for a tag team. Awesome they were, the work they went on to do. I want to see that again. Fight the Mysterios, fight Street Profits. I want all of that. Give it all to me. So yeah, can't wait. Anyway, I think we can agree, Lou, it was a damn good show.
We can, but before we get out of here, hold up.
We're not getting out of it just yet. Ultra chats and all sorts to happen, yeah? What are you doing?
Hold up.
Can't just say hold up.
There we go. Hold up. Look. I asked people on our community tab what they thought about wrestling, WrestleMania Backlash. So
good
I
stuff.
Thought we could get some comments from people. Dion, who I know has ultra chatted in before.
Super Dion.
Anyone up for Miz and Morrison for dinner, zombies? So, yeah, Miz and Morrison going to be undead bunnies now. I mean, they'll come out on Raw as bunnies, I'd assume. Yeah.
Zombies, you
not
mean?
Not bunny, zombies. Yeah. Yes.
I was like, what?
It's okay. The bunnies here that threw me off. But, yeah, sure. I assume they come out as zombies. Uh-huh. Alexandra D, loved the show. Missed the Rhea, Charlotte, and Asuka because I took a power nap and woke up to the finish.
Wow, zombies, yes. That really is a power nap, by the way. Wow.
Zombies, yes. Halloween. Love Roman and Cesaro match. I'd agree with everything there. Apart from the nap, I wouldn't nap during that match. Thought it was quite good.
Yeah.
Bonzo for life. I thought this was a home run show considering WWE standards, except for the Undead Masses part. Roman Reigns is a strong contender for Wrestler of the Year.
Yes, he is.
I think Will Ospreay's also got to be in that conversation. I think it's between those two personally. But in terms of story... In terms of storyline, Roman Reigns is there.
If we're talking like superstar, you know what I mean? The whole thing, it's Roman.
Oh, no one's close. No one in wrestling is close. Roman Reigns on the best run of anyone in wrestling in the last years. Good, solid show. Let's see if Raw can now up its game and give us something from Matt Slam. Prajnal Pandey. Bianca versus Becky Lynch would be interesting next. I mean, I don't think we're going to get it next.
Not next, but
down the line. Yeah. Love that. What about high voltage? what about the high voltage matches will be happening between Braun Strowman versus Omos versus Babatunde?
Jesus.
I believe he's called Commander Aziz now. I think Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair would be next. Just hello from Chris Dunstan. Hello, Christopher. Nepotism, father and son wins after getting too many chances for WWE Tag Team Championship. After matches, Rey and Dominic Mysterio. I don't think you understand what nepotism is. That is when, like...
That would be Rey Mysterio awarding them Dominic, you know?
That would be like Shane winning the WWE title. That's nepotism.
Yeah, nepotism would Rey be your own father giving you something, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that's... I don't think you've quite grasped that. What's next for Bianca beyond Bayley? You can set the feud to Hell in a Cell, but after that, you've no serious tenders left in Carmella, who lost the title match clean. Riot Squad, who are kind of jobbers now. Can we expect Mia Yim or someone else debuting? Mia Yim could be there. I mean, if you stretch this, Bianca Belair and Bayley and Sasha Banks is like a three until SummerSlam, we could have a draft coming up. We could have a couple of roster switches. We could have a couple of call-ups. So I do think there is some time to build up new people. And I think you could base it off just those three women until SummerSlam, which is only 3 months away now. What's next for Damian Priest? WWE US title against Sheamus? I'd very much assume so.
Prangel's having a great time here, by the way.
He's all over the place. The winner names it, so this event are all fixed already. I think Roman Reigns born to destroy the career of WWE superstars. He never loses the title. First, Daniel Bryan. Second, Cesaro. Don't think I've ever disagreed with a take.
Oh, Prangel.
I think he's elevated everyone he's been in feuds with.
Yes.
So yeah, Drew McIntyre must have changed their position in WWE. He needs to move on to Universal title. I do agree with this comment, actually. I think he needs something new. He needs to slip down the card or switch rosters. I think he is in need of a bit of a change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone's talking about the zombie stuff, so I'll leave that and talk about Dominic. WWE needs to work on its selling. Dominic was throwing on a massive weight. Yes, he came out without any bandages and only sold the ribs casually for a few times. Even hit a splash to win with bad ribs. Also, attacking Dom doesn't make much kayfabe sense. If he's still green, it should have been easy to beat for the Dirty Dogs. Thoughts on this one, Al, while I cough?
It always makes sense. Of course it makes sense. You want to just face one person, not the other. I mean, it would have made more sense if they'd attacked Ray. But yeah. Still, I don't think you can pick too many holes in that.
It's fine. Exactly. Like, I mean, even though he is green, I'd still rather face one person than two. Asuka needs to move on AEW or it's over for her. I thought she looked very good last night, to be honest. I thought she came away with a few good spots. Thought she looked good. Pragnol is all over the place here. Big E needs to move on to WWE US title, not for Intercontinental. I think he needs to move up as opposed to
last. Money in the bank. Money in the bank.
And then we have Matt, who ends as succinctly with meh.
Meh.
I thought that was... Hang on, let's do that. That was quick. Seems like overall positive. A few people had issues with the show, but it's YouTube comments, so everyone's going to have issues. overall thumbs up for me. It was a very, very solid WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah, me too. Gatecrasher Forever says Shingo Takagi is wrestler of the year so far. I mean, that's a fair take that I've seen from a lot of people, for sure. He'd be in the reckoning. I don't know, now pretty much hitting the nail on the head. Problem with WWE is not the pay-per-views. They've been pretty solid during COVID. I'd even argue better than solid. Good, very good to very good, mostly. Their weakness is the weekly shows, especially Raw. Yeah, I enjoy SmackDown for what it's worth, but Raw, man, that's a chore to get through at times. It really is.
Roll on tonight.
Exactly. The last Ultra Chat we've got going on here is from Mayor of Painesville, Dan. Hey, guys. I hope you are well. I hope you're well, Dan. Quick question. Who is the top guy in the US wrestling right now? Roman Reigns or Kenny Omega? I personally think Reigns has reached levels that only a few have, and Omega is behind with his current work on that. I think it's Reigns. This is the thing. Like, this will always change for people just based on what's most current, right? Like, because it's so... You know, whoever has the greatest match and all of this good stuff. But I do think Reigns' whole run is just knocking out of the park, match after match after match. He's having sensational matches.
Kane doesn't even deserve to be in the same conversation. Right.
I mean, to me as well, like, I think something has to be said. When you're knocking out the park for WWE, like, if you compare that to anyone else, anywhere else, the microscope is so much grander with WWE that means something. So I think Reigns is, you know, and I mean that in relation to being the biggest star. If you do it in WWE, you'll always be the biggest star if you're performing there, because more eyes, more global presence, you know how that story goes. I personally think Reigns is just killing it right now. That's where I would leave this. I just think he's the front runner at the moment.
Yeah, my opinion on this is Roman Reigns is the biggest star in wrestling right now. He just oozes star power.
Unrealized thoughts. There's a difference between wrestler and star, but I think Roman's killing both right now.
He is, but I mean, he's not having your traditional, like, his matches are more story, as great as they are in the ring, they're more story based as opposed to athletically impressive.
I love the story as well.
But for the people that watch wrestling for the athleticism and the fun spots and the big moment and the big sort of spots, I can understand why you wouldn't enjoy it as much. But for me, Roman Reigns is on another planet right now. He is
the matches different. Are action packed. It's just that, you know what, he's not doing a 450. You know what I mean? Like,
this is what some people want. I love the way Roman Reigns. I love everything about him right now. He is
me too.
He's not in the FTR MJF bracket.
Oh
for me,
my word! I'm going to kick you out.
But he's close. He's close.
You are the worst. I'm not even going to get into how despicable you are with your ass. Your ass licking. Your ass licking on Twitter is new levels.
He won't interact with me.
I thought I was bad with The Rock. You are 10 times worse with FTR. 10 times.
At least they interact with me. They know who I am.
Hey, The Rock has tweeted me before.
Oh, yes. You ask Rock, who's Alex McCarthy? He'd be like, who?
He knows. He'll go, yeah, you know, the keeper. No. Anyway, UK thank journal. You so much. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure the Rock
Monday while I'm on the Barbie with a bit of tequila.
I'm sure The Rock keeps up to date with me. I'm sure he does. Thank you so much, guys, for checking in tonight.
Loved your interview with Lana. Beautiful.
It's a good interview, that. Don't mock it. How was your interview with Lana? All right, that's a wrap on the Wrestling Daily tonight. You won't see either me or Louis tomorrow, by the way. And even though we are the phone-in, tomorrow Steph Chase is in this seat. She's going to be leading the show. SB3 is going to be in Louis Dangor's seat. So you've got the other half of Wrestling Daily in the house tomorrow for the phone-in. Do make sure you come on and make fun for those guys. I bet they can't wait. And guess what? It's SP3's birthday tomorrow.
It is.
Happy birthday, SP3. So make sure we all show out for him on Twitter. Show him some love. Show him some love in the chat and on the call in tomorrow. Let's get it going for the guys. Until then, thank you so much for joining us. I will be back Wednesday with the man himself, SP3. Then it's Steph Chase on Thursday. And on Friday, it'll be a special guest co-host, which I will reveal on Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Louis, thank you for your time as usual, my friend, and we will catch you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.